You're listening to this week's sermon from Morrisville United Methodist Church entitled, I Love to Tell the Story. We will now join Pastor Glass with the sermon.
Good morning and welcome to our online worship service for Morrisville United Methodist Church. My name is Beth Glass and I'm the pastor here, and we are absolutely delighted that you are joining us for worship. Whether you are watching us live this morning or tuning in later in the week, we are honored that you are sharing your time and your presence with all of us, and we thank you for that. If you're new to our church family, I'd like to extend a special word of welcome to you. And again, thank you for being here, and hope that you will find this to be a warm and welcoming experience that draws us closer to God and closer to one another. There are a lot of things going on in the life of our church. I encourage you to take some time to visit our church website so that you can stay up to date with our upcoming events and activities. Or you can follow us on Facebook, and that will be a good way to stay informed as well. There are a couple things I would like to lift up in particular this morning about our upcoming events. First of all, next Sunday is our Homecoming Sunday. That's a Sunday that we spend some special time to celebrate the heritage of our congregation. And as we are in a different environment this time, we will be worshiping online for that homecoming service. And Pastor Ben Lalka, who was the pastor prior to my arrival here, will be delivering the message for us, and I know you will be excited to hear what he has to say. He will be doing that remotely, but we will be honored by his presence. So I hope you will join us for worship that day. And then on September 20th, we will have our online worship service at 10 o'clock. And then following that at 11:30, we will be offering a drive-in worship service. It will be an abbreviated worship program that will include scripture and meditation, prayer, and some music. And so we invite you to join us for drive-in worship that day. If you are planning to attend that service, we would be grateful if you could register ahead of time by emailing the church office. Our gospel lesson for this morning comes from Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 20. Jesus said, "If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I do want to welcome all of you again and thank you for joining us as we are gathered together for worship today. We are truly honored by your presence, and I hope and pray that this will be a time that draws us closer to God and strengthens us in our walk with Jesus Christ as the power of the Holy Spirit speaks to each of us this morning. I wonder if any of you have a family story, a favorite story that is told over and over again whenever you have family gatherings. I know when my extended family gets together, we often tell some stories over and over again. But one of my favorite collections of family stories is found actually on a VHS tape. I don't know if anybody even has VHS tapes anymore, but we have one that I'm going to hold on to forever, and I will keep the old-fashioned VCR so that I can play it once in a while. It is a VHS tape that was a recording of my mother's parents. I called them Goody and Grandy when we were growing up. Goody and Grandy telling some of their stories that they remember fondly. One of the stories on the tape is a story of my grandfather recalling when he was just a little boy, maybe 4 or 5 years old, and he was playing in the basement with one of his best friends, and his mother called down to them and told them that they needed to take just a few minutes to be quiet because they were going to hear some bells ringing. And those were the bells that were signaling the end of the First World War. My grandmother tells a story about how when she graduated from college, she applied for a teaching position in her rural Pennsylvania area, and she was offered the job, but she had to stay with a family in the school, and she had to pay room and board to that family that was almost the full amount of her salary. She was discussing that with her parents, and my great-grandfather said to her, "Jane, I don't think you can afford to take that position." Those family stories not only let me know a lot about my family heritage, but they also communicated important values in our family. The value of taking time to honor the memory of the fallen. The value of people being paid a fair wage for hard work. Stories are important. Today's sermon is entitled, "I Love to Tell the Story," and we're going to look at some other stories and talk about why it's important to remember them as well. But before we go any further, will you pray with me, please? Holy God, not because of me, not through me, but in spite of me and all of my shortcomings, let your perfect word come to your people. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. So a little bit more about stories. Mike and I celebrate our wedding anniversary on June 23rd, and we've been married a lot of years. And some years, our anniversary celebration is a big deal, and we go out to dinner, or we do something really special to honor that day. Some years, it's a much quieter celebration. Usually, it depends on what's going on with our calendars and our schedules and how much money we have in the bank. But every year, we have had a tradition of pulling out our wedding album. And we look through the pictures from our wedding day, and we recall the events of that day and think about them fondly. We laugh together at the pictures of the giant van that we had at that time being filled with balloons and being covered with toilet paper. And we joke about how foolish I was to have given the keys to that vehicle to Mike's sister, Mary, prior to the wedding. Because not only did they stuff the van with balloons and cover it with toilet paper, but they scattered rice everywhere, including inside our suitcases that we had packed as we were leaving for our honeymoon. And to this day, we are still finding pieces of rice in that luggage. The details of how we celebrate our anniversary every year vary, but retelling that story is important to us. Because it's not just a story about something that happened on our wedding day, it is a story about us. It is a story that reflects who we are and things that are important to us. It is a story that reflects the story of our life together. Stories are important. They help us understand who we are. They help us understand the things that we value and the things that are important to us. Stories help us celebrate our past, but more than that, they help to give us strength for the present. And they help shape us and encourage us for the future as well. In the first lesson that we heard today, the lesson that Jen read for us, we listened to a story. It is the story of the Passover. It is a story that the Jewish people retell every year. It is a story that defines who they are as a people. It is a story in which they recall their past, but it is also a story which strengthens them for the present and helps shape their future as well. I'm sure you remember the details leading up to the story of the Passover. The Hebrew people are slaves in Egypt, and they are being treated cruelly. Scripture tells us that they cry out in their agony, and God hears their cry. And so God taps Moses, who has grown up in the royal household and is uniquely qualified for this position. God taps Moses to go speak to Pharaoh and urge Pharaoh, the Egyptian ruler, to let the Hebrew people go. With some reluctance, Moses takes on the assignment, and he does go and speaks to Pharaoh, but Pharaoh's heart is hardened, and Pharaoh refuses to let this valuable slave commodity be set free. So a series of plagues come upon Egypt. Water turns to blood, and there are flies and gnats and frogs. Livestock become ill. People and animals are covered with sores and boils. Thunder and hail destroy all of the crops. Locust covers the land. Darkness covers the earth. Yet none of those are enough to change Pharaoh's mind. So finally, the 10th plague comes along, in which the firstborn children of all of those in Egypt are killed. However, the children of the Israelites are spared because they have taken the blood of a lamb and they have put it on their doors. And so those houses are passed over by the Lord, and they are spared. As Moses gives the people instructions about how they are to roast the lamb and how they are to prepare it and how they are to mark their door frames, he also tells them that they are to reenact this meal every year throughout their generations. The Passover meal is a time to retell that story, to recall all that God did for the people of Israel, to give thanks for the past. But it is more than that. In telling the Passover story, Jewish families are also given strength for the present. And as they are reminded what God has done for them, they are also given hope for the future. We have a similar story, a similar meal, and we will celebrate it today in the parking lot of the church as we gather together for our drive-in communion service. And communion is a meal in which we recall the past. We hear the story again and again and again every time we celebrate that meal together of how Jesus gathered his closest followers on the night before he was betrayed, on the night before he gave himself up for us, and how he shared in a special meal with them, and how he took the bread and he broke it and blessed it and he gave it to them, saying, "This is my body. Take, eat, and be thankful." And how after the supper was over, he took the cup and gave thanks for that and shared it with his followers and said, "This is my blood poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins." We recall the events of that night when we share in that meal together and we retell the story. We are also reminded of the great love and sacrifice Jesus showed for us as he went to the cross. The meal and the story help us remember our past, but they also give us strength for the present. It always touches me deeply when we are able to share in the Lord's Supper together, and I can't explain it, but I know it's true for me and for many of you, I hope, that a little piece of bread and a thimbleful of grape juice can fill my heart with such gratitude, such grace, such thanksgiving. They strengthen me in ways that a four-course meal never would. That story, as we retell it, helps us recall the past, but it also gives us strength for the present so that we can face the challenges that are before us today. And it also helps shape us for the future. Because every time we hear that story and share that meal together, not only do we recall the past and not only do we receive strength for the present, but we are given a foretaste of the heavenly banquet that we will enjoy together someday in the presence of God and the risen Christ. We are shaped by our future. And I don't know exactly what that heavenly banquet will be like. I have all sorts of images in my mind about it. I see an immense table around which all of the people that I have known and loved who have gone before are gathered together, and there is laughter and there is joy and there is an overwhelming sense of love. Maybe that's what the banquet will be like. Maybe it will be like a picnic where we are surrounded by just beautiful, serene nature, and we experience the glory and majesty of God's creation in a powerful way. Maybe that's what the banquet will be like. Maybe the heavenly banquet will be a little different than that. There is a story I have shared before, but I like what it says about the image of what heaven might be like. It's a story in which a man is having a conversation with God and says to God, "God, I want to know what heaven and hell are like." And so God shows the man two doors. And the man opens the first door, and inside there is a room. And in the middle of the room, there is this huge vat, this huge pot that is filled with vegetable stew. And the scent is just amazing. The aroma is so rich, and the man's mouth begins to wander, and as he is looking, he sees all sorts of people gathered together around this pot, and they have really long spoons in their hands, and each of them dips a spoon into the pot, but the spoon handles are so long that when they try to put the spoonful of stew to their mouth, they can't make it work because the spoon is too long. And all of the people in the room are thin and famished looking, and they are crying and wailing, and it is pitiful. And the man's heart is broken by their misery and their suffering. And God says, "You have seen hell." God then takes the man to the other door, and the man opens the door, and inside there is a large room, and in the center of the room there is another huge pot, another huge vat of vegetable stew, and the aroma is amazing, and the man's mouth is watering, and he looks, and the people in that room also have spoons with really long handles that they are dipping into the pot of stew. But in this room, the people are laughing, and they look well-fed and happy. And as the man watches a little more closely, he sees that they are taking these same long-handled spoons that the residents of the first room had, and they are dipping them in the pot, and then they are extending the spoon to the person across from them so that the other person might eat. And the man says, "I don't understand. And God says, you've seen heaven, and it's simple. Because love only requires one skill. These people learned to share and to care for one another. Maybe that is what the heavenly banquet will be like. I don't know exactly what it will be like, but I do know as we gather together to celebrate the Lord's Supper, we retell the story, and that story reminds us of the past and the great sacrificial love that Jesus Christ has for us. That story and that meal give us strength for the present so that we can face the challenges that are before us. And that story and that meal also give us a foretaste of the banquet that we will share together one day with our risen Savior. And so, yes, I love to tell the story. Will you pray with me, please? Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks and praise for the story of your great love for us in Jesus Christ. A love of which we are reminded and a love that we celebrate every time we gather together to share in the Lord's Supper. We are grateful for that privilege, Lord, and we thank you for the ways that that story helps us remember the past, strengthens us for the present, and helps to shape our future. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Part of the work of the church is to tell the story of the amazing love of God through Jesus Christ. And we do that in a variety of ways. We do that as we serve our neighbors in need through our benevolence fund and through the food pantry and through the feeding program. We do that as we gather in small groups for study and for fellowship together. We tell the story with one another. We tell the story in our worship as we reach our neighbors with the good news. And we solicit your help in all of the ways that we tell the story. We ask for your prayers on behalf of our congregation and on behalf of its leadership so that we might faithfully follow how God is leading us to share the story and to tell it to others. And we ask for your financial support as well. If you are led to support us financially, we would be grateful for that. You can mail a check to the church, or you can give electronically. There's a link at the top of our Facebook page for electronic giving. There is a link on our church's website if you scroll down to the bottom of the homepage for that as well, or there's information about it, I think, that will be appearing in the chat. We do thank you for the many ways in which you support the work of the church as we seek to tell the story of Christ's amazing love. And now I send you out as those who will tell the story. And I send you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon. Due to the coronavirus pandemic, there will be no in-person worship services during the month of September. However, you can still join us in worship in a variety of ways. On the first Sunday of the month at 11:30 a.m., we will have drive-in communion. And on the 13th, we will have a special online homecoming celebration. You can see our sermons via Facebook Live on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/MorrisvilleUMC. If you're not on Facebook, you can watch via the church website at morrisville-united-methodist-church.freeonlinechurch.com/live. Recordings of the sermons are uploaded to the church website during the week, so there are many ways to stay in contact. In unprecedented times like these, we pray for your safety and know that the road you travel always leads you home. Have a blessed day.